And we want the Lord to speak to our hearts about this. And this is so important to me because I know for a fact there are a lot of people that deal with guilt and condemnation. And I really want to talk to you about living a guilt-free life, about living without guilt, not living with condemnation. I want you to be set free because Jesus came to set you free. He came to set you free from the bondage and shackles that the enemy tries to put on us. You just don't have to live that way. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning. No longer condemned. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's say a quick word of prayer. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, expecting you to speak to our hearts through the power of your word. There is life in your word. And I pray that life just flows out of the word of God into our hearts right now. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If God knows all things, and we know that he does, right? If God knows all things, he knows what you've done. He knows where you've been. He knows the mistakes that you have made. He knows the mistakes you will make. But he still loves you. And he still accepts you. And he still forgives you. And he still is willing to hang out with you, and he is willing to be with you. If all of that is true, then your heart has no power to condemn you. I want you to think about that. If God is willing to accept you, if he has canceled everything that stood against you, then your heart cannot condemn you. Your heart cannot bring guilt. Because God's already set you free and God's already said, it's okay, I've taken care of it. So then why do we, knowing that God has done that for us, why do we then let our heart bring condemnation and guilt to our lives? Part of the reason is because we don't know it. We haven't really got that revelation that God has truly forgiven me. Say, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Just say that to yourself and let it sink in. You're loved. You're forgiven. God has done that awesome work in your life. I'm going to show you something this morning that your heart can't be trusted. You're listening to your heart, but your heart can't be trusted. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart of man, another version says, is desperately wicked. That's you. That's me. That's our heart. You know what that means? That means my heart can't be trusted. You're listening to your heart, and your heart will betray you. Let me tell you this. People a lot of times, and I hear this a lot, well, it's how I feel. It's how I feel. You know, they'll be talking about a situation in their marriage, a situation in their home, a situation with their kids, and it's how I feel. I just feel this way. Well, let me tell you something about feelings. Feelings are honest things. It's how you feel. But feelings are not always right. There's a big difference, and a lot of people get that confused. They automatically think because they feel that way that it's right. But just because you feel that way doesn't make it right. And in fact, it probably is wrong. Feelings are honest. I get that. It's how you feel. I understand that. But they're usually not right. Feelings will mislead you. Your heart will mislead you. The battleground that you're fighting is right here between your ears. That's where the battle takes place. The enemy attacks your thought life. He fills your mind with thoughts and suggestions, and he gets you thinking a certain way. And your heart, out of your heart, these thoughts, these feelings, and these emotions begin to push you in a certain direction. And the enemy is lying to you. The enemy is deceiving you. The heart is deceitful. And I'm just telling you right now, you can't trust it. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust yourself because we're not perfect. Your own heart will blame you. Your own heart will condemn you. It will criticize your choices and bring condemnation. It will heap guilt upon guilt upon you because of your mistakes and because of your failures. Your heart is not your savior. Your heart does not save you. Your heart does not have the final authority over your life. God's word has the final authority over your life. Let's try to start listening to what God's word says rather than my feelings. Let's listen to what God's word says rather than my emotions. Let's listen to what God's word says rather than what I see or what I hear. We're hearing and seeing a lot right now. There's so much fear. There's so much despair. There's so much hopelessness. People are worried about all that's going on and what's going to happen afterwards. Folks, God is in control. We don't need to be so fearful with these things, but keep your eyes on Him. And let's start fighting back. We don't have to, we can fight back. We can stand in the Word of God. Amen? We can stand in God's Word and declare God's Word over my family, over my health, over my children, over my grandchildren, over my home, over my situation, over my job, over my career, over my finances, over everything. God cares about every part of your life. And He wants to bless you and start declaring the blessings of the Lord rather than just listening to our hearts. Let God's Word have authority over your life. Society likes to reward success. And we know that. We learned that lesson. Institutions reward achievement. Careers reward accomplishments. Athletics rewards victory. And the list goes on and on. We're taught from a very young age the importance of performance. Your children were probably given a little something extra if they made B's and A's. They got rewarded for it. That teaches them to perform well. Maybe you got a little something when you were growing up and you performed well or you did a good job and you got a little something extra. So it becomes ingrained in us to perform, to do well, and when we do well, we get rewarded. But I want you to know something about the kingdom and economy of God. The grace of God is not earned. Let that sink into your heart. We have a hard time with this. We really think we have to keep performing somehow and keep working and striving to please God. God loves you. He's already pleased with you. Let me say this. There is nothing you will ever do that will make God love you any more than He loves you right now. God can't love you more than He already loves you. There's nothing you'll ever do to make Him love you more. And there's nothing you will ever do that will make Him love you less. That's an amazing statement. You can't make God, He just loves you. It's not based on performance. The love of God is static. The love of God is consistent. It's just there. It's hard for us to understand that. But He just loves you and it's not performance based. Psalm 103:17 says, His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Lamentations 3, chapter 3, 22 and 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We'll say that again. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What a verse. What a verse. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never stops. His mercies never come to an end. They don't run out. His mercies are new every morning. You think you used them all up yesterday. I fell on my face. I made mistakes. There's no way there could be anything left. There's no way God could love me any more than He. They just couldn't possibly still love me. But guess what? His mercies are new every morning. They start all over. He don't run out. He don't run out of grace. He don't run out of mercy. Great is His faithfulness. See, God isn't just waiting to reward us for our good deeds. He's more than that. God wants to rescue you from your failure. If you feel like you've fallen, if you feel like you failed in some way, God has come to rescue you. God has come to save you from your failure. In fact, he specializes in that. That's his heart. The Word of God says he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Amen. I know through the years churches have preached condemnation. I know through the years churches have preached guilt. I know through the years ministries have manipulated people through guilt. I don't have any of that for you. All I have is good news. Jesus came to rescue you. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to love you. And there's no condemnation. You're no longer under any guilt. You're no longer under that cloud. You're no longer under that shadow. Look at what Romans 5:8 says. It says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. God loved you while you were a sinner. While you were a sinner. Now, I want to talk about conviction or condemnation. I want to show you how God works. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with what? Confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Let us approach God's presence, not with fear and trembling, not with trepidation. Let us approach God's throne. Let us come into the Holy of Holies. Let us come into the very presence of God with boldness, with confidence, not with fear. Why? So that we might receive judgment, a chewing out, blame, accusation. No. So that we might receive mercy. Mercy. And what? Find grace to help in time of need. We go through times of need, but there's grace. There's abundant grace, and it never runs out. It never runs out. God is just asking you to come to him, not on your perfect days, not on your good days, not when you've checked every box, not when you've got it all together. No, he wants you to come into his presence when you're having a rotten week. He wants you to come into his presence when you have real needs and you really need some mercy. I could use some mercy. I could use some grace. That's when God wants you to run to him. He doesn't want us as Christians walking around with our heads hung low, our shoulders bowed, and carrying the weight of shame and guilt. That's condemnation. And condemnation doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. Condemnation is the enemy's agent to drive you away from God with discouragement and fear. It's the work of the enemy. It's your heart lying to you, deceiving you, telling you you've been a failure. God can't love you anymore. You've messed up too much. Just quit. Just give up. I had a person tell me one time, I knew they had a lot of problems in their life. I knew they were working through a lot of things. And they were in church very faithfully for a while, and then they just disappeared. And after a couple of weeks, I noticed they were not there. I found them, I checked on them, and you know what she told me? She said, Pastor Glenn, I love the church, I love the ministry, I feel the presence of God, but I just can't keep going up there. And I said, why? She said, because of all those perfect people that are there. I mean, the people that love the Lord, and they just got their lives together, and they all look, you know, dressed up so nice and just perfect, and you know. And she said, I'm such a failure. I'm so messed up. I just don't need to be in there. I don't fit. And I said, well, you fit better than you know. I said, because I know most of those people and their lives are not near as together as you think they are. But church is for people like you. Church is for people like me. It's for all those of us that are fallen. It's for those of us that are in need of mercy. It's for those in need of grace. Churches are not for perfect people, and there are no perfect people. It's a place for those who have fallen. For those who need, and the enemy will try to deceive you like he did that young lady and will lie to you. That's your heart deceiving you, lying to you. So condemnation becomes the work of the enemy. But what is conviction? I often call it, conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit, and I often call it a bittersweet thing. Because it can hurt. It can hurt when God comes letting you know you've fallen, letting you know you failed. But every time God does that, he offers a remedy. You see, condemnation doesn't do that. Condemnation just condemns. It don't help you. It just beats you up. It just beats you up. But conviction lovingly lets you, teaches you. Conviction builds you up. Conviction helps show you where you failed and how you can be better. And that's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. And it's kind of a bittersweet thing, but the work of conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit to drive you to God, not away from Him. Conviction doesn't make you feel guilty. It doesn't make you feel shame. It doesn't do that. It reminds you of what you already know. That you made a mistake and you don't want to keep making that same mistake and there's a way out. God has come to deliver you. God has come to set you free. So when you hear your heart speaking words like bad and hypocrite, and failure and quit and unworthy, that's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the enemy. God says, what does God say? God says, hold on. God says, don't give up. God says, I love you. God says, try again. God says, get back up. God says, grace is coming. God says, forgiveness is coming. God says, mercy is coming. That's the voice of God, not the voice of a wicked heart. That verse we read a moment ago said, God commended his love toward us while we were sinners. God loved us in spite of our failure. He loved us while we were sinners. While we were sinners, he died for us. He didn't say, you know, when you guys get yourselves all cleaned up and you get your lives right and you get straightened out, then come see me. Then we'll talk. Then we'll see what we can work out. But I'm not having anything to do with you right now. No, he didn't do that. He loved us right where we were. He loves us right where we are. Some of you that are listening to this right now may think, I've fallen so bad, I've failed so bad, I hadn't been to church maybe in so long. Look, Jesus loves you. He just loves you. And he wants you to come home. He wants you to run to him. He wants you to come to him. He loved us while we read it. He loved us while we were sinners. And how much more does he love us now that we're sons and daughters? You can't even imagine how much he loves you. If our heart condemns us, we need to understand that he is greater than that. His voice is greater. His love is greater. The cross is greater. The cross is greater than my sin. The power of his blood is greater. The power of the Holy Spirit is greater. I mean, think about Simon Peter. He was always falling on his face. He was trying. But he denies Jesus, curses him, denies him, rejects him, disowns him 3 times. And every time the rooster crows, you know his heart must have condemned him. You scuzzball, you failure, you creep. Look at you, Simon Peter, the great disciple. Look at you, cursing Jesus, denying Jesus. You know what he heard? Traitor, denier, liar, pathetic so-called preacher. Can't even stand in the hard times. Can't stand up, ashamed of the gospel. Look at you. You're a worm. You're nothing. But God saw something different. That's what Peter heard. That's what his heart told. But God saw something different. God saw a Pentecostal preacher. God saw a man who was going to be full of the Holy Ghost and preach, and 3,000 people were going to get saved. God saw a man who was going to be one of the leaders of the church. He saw a man who was going to preach a message to help birth the church. And while Satan was condemning, God was looking upon Simon Peter and saw his future. He saw his ultimate choices. He saw the intent of his heart. He saw a future of a man that he didn't want to give up on. And Simon Peter, as fallen and broken as he was, you know, he's one of the first people Jesus went looking for after the resurrection. Imagine Jesus saying, Simon Peter, the one that cursed me and denied me, I got nothing for him. I'm done. Washed my hands of the guy. No, that's not how God operates. He went looking for him. He went looking for him. Amen. And we kind of see the fullness of this in John chapter 21. I love that chapter. And when Peter got to thinking about it, and he thought of his failure, and his heart's still talking to him, he's grieving. You know what he decides to do? Read the chapter. He decides to go. Peter was a fisherman. That's what he knew. That's what he grew up doing. It's what he knew how to do. And you know what he decided to do in John chapter 21? He decided to go back to fishing. Guys, it's what I do. It's what I am. I don't know why I ever thought I could be anything else. I don't know why I ever thought I could be a preacher. I could be used of Jesus. I don't know how I ever thought I could be a disciple of Jesus and follow him. I'm glad he's resurrected. Thank God, it's so awesome. But I don't have a part anymore. I messed up. I blew it. They can't use me in that ministry anymore. Not me. It's going to go to somebody else. But you know what? I'm just going to go back to what I know. I'm just going to go back to fishing. I'm just going to disappear. I'm just going to live a simple life. And this whole thing of following Jesus and being a disciple, I'm done. And they're fishing. And early that next morning, they fished all night. Hadn't caught nothing. And early that next morning, they see the silhouette of a man standing on the beach. And I love what he asked them. He called out and he said, guys, they don't know who he is. They just, and from a distance, they see a man standing on the shore. And he calls out and he says, hey, you guys caught anything? You guys doing any good out there? There are volumes in what Jesus is saying to them. I love it. He's saying, how's that working out for you? You went back to doing what you thought. I just want to know how it's working out for you. You fished all night and hadn't done nothing. How's it working out for you? Cast your nets to the other side. Cast your nets again. What does that guy on the shore know that we don't know? Well, what have we got to lose? So they cast their nets and they started filling up with fish. And Peter's standing there watching the nets fill up with fish, and suddenly his heart explodes. Tears start rolling down his cheeks. In a moment, he knows who that is on the shore. In a moment, he knows. And you know what he does? He jumps out of the boat. He can't wait. He's got to get to Jesus. And he goes swimming to the shore just to get to Jesus because his heart is beating. His heart is beating. God is greater than our heart. God is greater than the condemnation. And Jesus comes looking for Simon Peter and he finds him. And there on the shore, he tells him. He tells him basically how he's going to die. That he basically tells him, you're going to give your life for me, man. But I've got you, and I'll hold you. And Peter's life is forever changed because God didn't give up on him. And Peter comes running to him. You got a need today? You got a heart cry today? You got something that, you know what you need to do? You need to run to Jesus. You need to run to Jesus. I think of those in the Bible that had needs, that their needs drove them to Jesus. Zacchaeus, lonely, miserable, rich and wealthy, but lonely and miserable. Just had to get to Jesus, and he's hanging up in a tree just so he could get a look at him. The centurion with the servant who's dying. These are men that would not normally go to Jesus. These are men that would not normally look for Jesus. But they threw everything aside and said, forget it, I don't care anymore, I want to get to him, I have a need. And the centurion sought him out. Nicodemus, one of the leaders of Israel, would not normally come looking for Jesus, but something was missing in his life. He wanted to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Jairus, whose daughter was dying, one of the leaders of Israel, suddenly didn't care anymore what anybody thought. His daughter was dying, and he went looking for Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood didn't care, pressed her way through the crowd and took hold of his garment. The lepers, who were supposed to be in hiding and away from the crowds and not to be seen in public, suddenly threw everything aside and said, "I got to get to Jesus." The Syrophoenician woman who wouldn't normally have anything to do, the Jews wouldn't normally have anything to do with her. She cast all that aside just to get to Jesus because she had a need. The demoniac crying out of his torment and torture, "Can you help me?" All of this, even the thief at the cross, while one cursed and threatened, the other looked at that man hanging beside him and saw peace and strength and power and love and cried out. You just got to get to Jesus. Listen to me as we close this morning. God's not throwing you away because of what you've done. God's not throwing you away because of failure. He loves you. He doesn't love you because of your deeds, your works. He loves you in spite of them. He just loves you. Your heart doesn't have the last say. Your guilt will only condemn you if you let it. It will beat you up. It will gnaw at you. It will tear you to pieces. It will torment your life. But God's grace is extended to everybody without price. Every one of us. Every one of us. Revelations 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price come." You know, God is an inviting God. Come. Just come. What are you holding back for? What are you waiting on? I've never really understood people having to think about whether to come to God or not. It's the biggest no-brainer in the world. There's really nothing to think about. It's free. It costs you nothing. Eternal life. God takes care of everything. He just wants you to come. That's all. He's given you an invitation today. If you need Jesus as your Savior, it's free. It's not about joining a church. It's not about doing this or doing that. It's simply about Jesus. I accept you, Lord. I believe in you. I believe you died for me. If you're out there and you need healing in your body, you need a touch of some kind, He's saying, come. Just come. If you've been fearful and worried and filled with anxiety, He's saying, come. Whatever your need, just like these we talked about, just throw it all aside and get up and go. Come to the water. Are you thirsty? Come to the water. Do you need mercy? Then come. Do you need grace? Then come. Do you need forgiveness? Then come. You need healing? Then come. You need strength? Come. You need deliverance? Come. You need somebody to just cover you? You need somebody to comfort you? You need somebody to love you through a hard time? Then just come. Right now. Right there where you're at. Just say, "Jesus, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. Right now. Right now. I just sense the Lord ministering to people right now, right where you're at. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just put your hand over your heart, and I want you to pray. Father, right now, I reject the lies of my heart. I reject the deceit and condemnation of the enemy. I will no longer live that way. I am set free from those lies. I am set free from the accusation. And right now, Lord, I come to you. I'm not perfect. I'm not even close. But I just heard that that don't matter. I just heard that you love me anyway. So I'm coming. And I'm bringing to you my need today. And whatever your need is, just tell him, Lord Jesus, this is what I need. And I need it now. So, Father, we ask that you heal. We ask that you save. We ask that you deliver. We ask that you set free. Rip out all the lies of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Tear it down. We come against every lying spirit that is attacking the people of God. Every spirit of fear and intimidation in the name of Jesus, that people are being set free. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Oh, God is so good. The presence of the Lord is so strong. Amen. Well, again, thank you for being here. If you need something, get in touch with us. Let us know. We're praying for you. We miss you all so much. It'll be so good to see you again. Hopefully, really soon, we're going to be able to get back together. We're working on that. We'll let you know some details as soon as we know. God bless you. Have a great day. We will see you soon. Amen.